Without fiery trials, we cannot go to perfection. Now, today we are going to study remaining the things. Now, if you remember, God called Paul. When God called Paul, Paul was not following Jesus Christ. But when he got a call from God, even the disciples didn't like that Paul should be coming and worshiping or preaching the gospel with them. So Ananias starts saying, Lord, do you know how much Saul is persecuting the children of God? See what was the answer God gave. Book of Acts chapter 9, verse 15.
But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake.
See what he says? I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. He didn't say he might, must. So it sounds like this was only for Saul. And people thinking because he was persecuting Christians, this might be his punishment.
Yes,
but this is not a punishment. Each and every believer has to go through. And those days, this was just the beginning of the Christianity, or just the starting. They were not even name given to them as a Christian. They were just the believers in Christ, and they were just suffering under Saul. So when Ananias starts saying, I'm not going, then God says, this is my chosen vessel. Not only that, I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias start thinking, yes, he should suffer because he is harassing the Christians. But that is not the will of God. Will of God is each and every one should be suffering for the sake of Christ. And first part, we learn that if we are children of God, then God wants us to be perfect and corrected, or God will correct us. And for that, Jesus Christ gave the example how he prunes so you can bear more fruits. So I'm not going back and repeating what we learned last week, but I want to prove it to the children of God. Suffering is not only for Saul or Paul or only few disciples. Each and every believer has to go through. And we learned last week what reason we're going through. But let's read 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12.
Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution.
If somebody is living in Christ, means Christian, that Christian person will have persecution. That means there is no way out. And one lady came to one minister, I'm not giving his name. She said, I'm a Christian, and people talking about persecution, I don't have a persecution. The man said, lady, get saved. When you get saved really, then you will have persecution. If you are blending with the world and you are not living a Christian life, you don't have persecution. Persecution starts the day you believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So here he's saying, and all that will live godly life in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But someone says, when you use the word shall, that has more power than will. But anyhow, if you are a born-again child of God, there is no way out. Then some people have suffering according to how much they can bear. So God says he will not allow anyone to suffer anything more than they cannot bear. People can say, oh, nobody's suffering like me. Even Paul said, I suffer a lot, I could not bear. But each and every person suffers. But if you have Christ with you, that suffering, Christ suffers with you. If somebody starts suffering without a Christ, then that suffering is more. You cannot bear. You think. That's why people do suicide or kill themselves, or they don't want to live in this world. But the Christian will not do it, because we learned last week, when you have trials and tribulation and problems, count it joy. Rejoice that you got a chance to suffer with Christ. Now, Philippians chapter 1, verse 29, it says,
for unto you it is given in behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake.
See, here is saying, for unto you it is a given. What is given? You have the grace of God to suffer. And how are you suffering? Behalf of Christ. God has called us and given us grace to suffer behalf of Christ. When you're suffering behalf of Christ, that is noted in the Word of God. Means in the kingdom of God. God is watching. You remember they were stoning Stephen? And what we learned? Jesus Christ was standing and looking what's happening. He could have stopped them, right? But he wanted to prove it to people, because that was the beginning of the Christianity. And he wanted to prove it to people, my people, they will give their life. That's why some people said, Jesus Christ is not even risen. Then someone says, people will not die for Christ if he is not risen, and if we don't have hope. So Stephen died for Christ, and he said, I see Jesus Christ standing at the right hand of God. And so he would say, Jesus, can't you see what the persecution they're doing to me? Why don't you do something? If he would have said something, God would have done something. You remember Paul, one person coming and harassing him, and he didn't like it. He said, be blind for a season. And the person became blind. So God has given us the power. That's why he said, you know, if you don't curse somebody, if you curse, the curse will come upon them. So bless. We have the power to destroy the works of the devil. But he says, he has given us also grace. If somebody really believes that Jesus Christ has died for me and he has given me the grace. He says it is given. And so somebody was testing one man. And this man was a Hindu. He was persecuting Christians. And he was killing Christians, just like Paul. I read about him. And then one day what happened? We want to see how much you love Jesus. They cut his one hand. He kept on saying, God bless you. He cut his another hand. Keep on saying, God bless you. He cut his two legs. He said, kept on saying, God bless you. And he died. But he did not curse them. And he did not say anything bad. And God gave him the grace. Can you imagine? And I heard the gangs of people who were doing that, they all became Christian. They found out how much this man suffered for sake of Christ. And did not do any harm to us. I heard somebody kill somebody's son and they go to the prison and say, okay, I love you as my son or as my daughter. That only gives by this word,
yes,
that
sir.
God has given you grace behalf of Christ. So God has not called you just believe on him, but he said, but also to suffer for his sake. So Christian people think Christian life is so easy. It's easy in Christ. If you really love the Lord, I got suffering from people, but at that time I did not quit. People tried to scare me, give me poison, try to kill me, Many a time one person just opened knife and tried to stab me from the back. But if I would have not called by God, some people say, oh, you're just following God for your selfishness. If I was selfish to follow God, I would have quit long time ago, Christianity. Hear the word of God says, unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on Him, but also suffer for His sake. And that's the joy when you really go through this. Okay, now we are learning why believer has to go through this thing. Why God so enjoys doing this? Looking at His children suffer like this? No. We learn that this is a purifying process. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 7.
That the trial of your faith be much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ.
See now, He says the gold can be put it in the fire and purifies. But He says, your faith is much more precious than the silver and gold. When you tried in fire, He says, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. That means, He says, when you suffer with the fiery trial, just like a gold is purified, but the gold is still perishable. Even though it's purified, if you put so much heat, that will become ashes. That gold or silver or whatever it is. But they put certain kind of fire or purification, so the gold will not be vanish away. If you put too much, it will be dust. But our purification, we do not completely become dust. Our purification is much more precious than the silver and gold. Because He says when Jesus Christ is coming, somebody says, how long you have to suffer? He says, how long? Until Christ comes or until you die, whichever comes first. So He says, our suffering is gives honor, glory, praise to the Jesus Christ because He is coming. Until He comes, you keep on suffering. That's what it is saying. So don't say 1 day, 2 days, 3 days. You have to keep on suffering, looking unto Jesus. That's what this Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2 is all about. Looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. When we keep on looking at Him, we forget our problems. And the verse 3 itself says, why are we looking into Jesus? So you should not be faint in your mind. We should not be thinking it's too much for me. Nobody bears the burden. I am the only one doing it and I am the only one suffering. Christ suffered for us. Why are we comparing with somebody's? How much you suffer and how much you... Somebody say, how much you did work? I do this. What do you do? People compare. The Word of God says you compare with Christ. How much Christ did? Can you do that? How much He suffered? Can you suffer like that? No. Then you will not faint in your mind. That's what He's saying. So the purification happens when we suffer for Christ. There are some people suffering in the world, not for God, and they're thinking, oh, you know, in the world, we have a hard time, tough time. They are not even Christian. And they're thinking they're suffering. They're suffering for their own reason. Let's read 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 19.
For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully.
Okay, now, this is good. When you're suffering, doing something or people harassing you, and you're doing for God, and if you suffering the trials and pain and everything, that's good. But read the following verse.
For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God.
Right. See, in this verse, two ways He says. First of all, He says if you're suffering with a wrongdoing, taskmaster give you a hard time, you are Christian or non-Christian. And they get problems. And they come and say, you know, this job is horrible. Nobody's forced you to work that way, right? If you don't like, get another job. In a Cardone, some people are working. They complain about Cardone. They said it's tough. And those people, some of the people are not even saved. So they want easy job, no persecution. Just take a cigarette, go, take a 4 or 5 breaks, go to bathroom here and there, and no work. In Cardone, you cannot do that. They have 10 minutes breaks every 2 hours or something like that. You cannot take a break any time you want. If it's emergency, they can talk to the supervisor. But they're working hard. People saying, we are suffering. This is unfair, and they suffer. He said, you're doing for the wrong thing. But if you're doing for the right reason, you as a Christian, you are doing your job, you are not doing anything wrong, and still the boss wants to get rid of you. And then he starts giving you a hard time. Then you say, why this is happening? But sometimes if you patiently wait, you will get a promotion, you will get some kind of good report. Even the one person doesn't say, 4 or 5 people will say, this person is good, why are you harassing him? Why are you giving him a hard time? But you say, if you patiently take this abuse and take this suffering, that is what? Acceptable with God. God says, okay, what you're doing, I noticed. I recorded. I'm going to give you a reward. I learned what you're doing, I watched on it. But here he's saying it is acceptable with God. God is watching. God knows what you're going through. Sometimes people say, God, do you know what this man is doing to me? You seeing it? I know what these people are doing to you. God knows the perfect timing. If you suffer patiently, it'll be acceptable. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 17.
For it is better, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing.
See, it's a choice. You want to suffer with the well-doing, or you want to take revenge and start fighting? If it is the will of God that I should suffer doing good, then it is better to suffer with the evil-doing. We are here in this world to suffer for the sake of God. And so, if we are not doing for God, and we do evil thing, and then we suffer, the Word of God says, leave it to me. Give it to the Lord. God will take care. But when you have no choice, somebody's persecuting you, behalf of Christ, then he says, better. If God allows you to go through fiery trials, and it is the will of God, that he says, it is better if the will of God be so. What does it mean? If this is the will of God, you should go through this suffering, then let it be. That's why sometimes, you know, we do not understand. And we say we did everything right. Why is something going wrong? And then we sit there, I don't understand. But the Word of God says, if this is the way you want to pass through, and if this is the will of God that you suffer for this cause, because of behalf of Christ, then it is better than suffering for evil doing. Okay, now, 1 Peter chapter 4, it says, sometimes the trials and tribulations doesn't give you warning when it's coming. Sometimes, you know, people say, watch out, I'm going to do this and do that. But the Word of God says trial can come anytime. You should be prepared. Okay. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12.
Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you.
So some people say, why me? And some people pray, why me, Lord? I'm a good guy. I go to church. I give tithe. I pray. I'm a generous. I go out of my way to do things. Why me? He said, don't think like that. God is not picking some people to torture them, just like he picked some unsaved people like a Pharaoh or somebody. But for believers, they're all same. We learn 2 Timothy 3:12, if every believer has to go through this. So he says, sometimes strange things happen to you, but God knows all these things. We have to learn one thing, that this fiery trial coming to me, something good is going to come out of it. Let's go to verse 13.
But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy.
Yeah. See, when the suffering comes, we can sit and cry. Especially ladies can be easily crying. You can sit and cry or call 10 people and tell, this brother is telling me this, or this pastor is saying me this, or this, my wife is doing this, or my husband is doing this, or my neighbor is doing this, and you can call 10 people and complain, or sit at the feet of Jesus and say, thank you, Jesus. You gave me grace to suffer for your sake. So he says, ye are partakers of the Christ suffering. That means he suffered, and now when you suffering, that just like you are suffering with Christ, or Christ suffering with you. Either way you take it, you are, you know, suffering with him. That when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. So Jesus Christ is coming. And he's coming for his people who are tried in a fire. That's why we are learning. We don't have to learn this. We are born again Christian and that's it. So born again Christian, what God wants us to be. When you are born again, we learn. It's not a step one, step two, step three. But this is the way God wants. When you believe in the Word, then have faith in the Word of God. If you believe in Jesus, have faith in Jesus. When you believe in Jesus Christ, what do you believe? I can be sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ. Then if you're sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ done this much, what do? Take baptism. Listen to the Word of God. Be sanctified by the Word of God or by the water. That's what we learn. And then we do that. What do you do then? Then he promised you to give the Holy Spirit. Don't reject it. God, I want it. And he gave the Holy Spirit for suffering, for purification, for preaching the Word of God. And then we learned about fiery baptism last week, and we continue. So we are suffering with Christ, believing that he is coming. And when he comes, we will be happy that our suffering didn't go in vain. God gives us everything for his glory. We have to thank God when we doing anything or in this world, we are doing for the Lord. One lady came to me, said, please pray for me. I have so many girls and I want a boy. I said, okay, we'll pray for the boy. We prayed for the boy. And she goes for the checkup. They did the check. They said, you know, you have a girl. She tells me, Pastor Peter, you told me I'm going to have a boy. And the machine says I'm going to have a girl. I said, the machine can be wrong. Your doctor can be wrong. We believe God. And we prayed, we agreed that you have so many girls and you want a boy. God will give the desires of your heart. Let's believe. When the baby was born, a boy, not a girl. So God can change it. The Word of God is saying, like you suffering like a pregnant lady, look for the healthy child. And some people keep on thinking, oh, I'm going to get a bad child. You will get a bad child. That's what you thought. I tell some ladies, when you are pregnant, read the Bible, pray, sing, rejoice, don't fight. The child in the womb, but child can listen. Child will see how the mommy is happy or mommy is sad. Child can feel it if mommy doesn't want me. And if somebody really understands that, because the Word of God is saying we suffering, but end of it a joy. Just like a pregnant lady suffering, but the end of it, when she delivers the baby, healthy baby, she's happy. But the some Christian people, healthy or not healthy, they rejoice. Why is this happening to me? I'm a child of God. Why am I suffering this way? I'm going to trust in God. Something good will come out of it. So he says, you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, he may be glad also with exceeding joy. Not a little joy, exceeding joy. And that's what the Christianity is all about. Okay.
If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified.
See, when you're suffering, God is watching. He says glory appears on you, means he's keeping the hedge of protection. He's keeping or he's watching over you just like a spotlight. Here is my son, here is my daughter suffering. And so he says, happening, and in who is talking about God, good and bad? He says, if the one person gets saved, all the angels rejoice, right? And so one child of God suffering, all the angels and everybody might be saying, look at that. Look at this, how the child of God is suffering. And so the glory is covering that person. The Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. Not only Spirit of glory, but God himself present there, watching over your problems. But he says, for the evildoers, what? God is keeping the record. What they're doing, how much they are causing this problem to my child, and they will be punished one day. When you're reading the Psalms, everything which you read about evil people, they are not going to escape suffering in hell. But for the children of God, suffering makes glorious. God's glory appears, and God itself rests upon you, watching upon you what's happening to you. So if you read these things, we feel good. God is watching. God is with me. I never thought one day in my life, why did I follow Christ? Time is going.
But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf.
So we learn in the chapter 2, also, you should not be suffering for evil doing. Here also saying the same thing, verse 15. But the verse 16 is said, if any man suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf. So that's the Christianity. Now here he says, you should not be ashamed for suffering. And there is Romans chapter 1, verse 16, he says, if you are not ashamed to preach the word of God, suffering is following. So we should not be ashamed to preach. You should not be ashamed to suffer. Both goes hand in hand. Once you start preaching the gospel according to the word of God, persecution is going to follow. It's there. Not a single person, like we read in the 2 Timothy 3:12, not a single Christian can say there is no persecution for the Christians. There is. Okay. Keep on reading.
For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God?
See, the judgment is for sure. And when we are tested, it's like a judging. What kind of crown you getting? What kind of honor you getting? What kind of place you getting in heaven? How much you suffer for God? How much you work for God? According to your qualification, you get the reward. So here the word of God is saying, the judgment is happening, the trial and tribulation is happening to the believers, compare them what God is going to do to the unsaved people. If we are having a tough time as a believer, then their time is coming.
And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator.
So what he's trying to say? Therefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls. Means God is watching over our souls. He said commit our souls to Him in well-doing. Means not doing wrong. When you do well, say, Lord, here I am. Just like Stephen says, Lord, I commit my life in your hand. And so, as unto a faithful Creator, our God is faithful. He has created us. We have nothing to say why we're suffering. We are the part, He is the power, right? He is the Creator. We cannot, the creature cannot complain to Creator, why did you create me like that? Some people say, why I was born in Africa? Why I'm born in India? Why I'm born in Trinidad? Why I'm born in America? Why my skin is this? Why my nose is this? And why my hair is this? We have nothing to complain. Think about your souls. Every soul is the same. Soul is the soulish man, is the real man. Everybody's blood is red. So we're looking at outward man, outward beauty. God is looking at your souls. So when our soul is saved, that is the greatest thing in the whole wide world. And we should be thinking, thank God, my God is my Creator. He is faithful. And I'm going to put my trust in Him. Okay. Just like if a watch is broken, go to the watchmaker who made the watch. Okay. Okay, let's finish it. Let's go to chapter 5. And just read verse 6 to 9.
Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world.
What you do when you're suffering. What do you say? Humble yourself in the hand of God. God knows how to rescue you. We don't have to sit and cry and say, Lord, I'm keeping myself in your hand. I'm going to give a couple of verses and finish. Book of Revelation chapter 12 verse 11. How people can overcome all these trials and problems.
And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death.
Love not their lives until the death. That means if you love the Lord, you have a testimony that I'm a child of God, and tell everybody why I'm suffering because I love the Lord Jesus Christ. And then say, the blood of Jesus Christ will help you. Give you victory. So the blood of Jesus Christ and the word of our testimony gives us victory over this enemy. James chapter 1 verse 12.
Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him.
This crown of life God gives you when you love him, suffer for him, all trials and temptation, all kinds of things, until when? Until the death. The last verse, Revelation 2:10, and we finish it.
Fear none of those things which shall thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
See, the James also said the same thing, but here also saying, until the death. And who is giving these trials? The enemy, the devil. John 10:10 is the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus said, I'll come to give you life and more abundant life. But it is these trials or what? Even he said 10 days. 10 days is not exactly 10 days. 10 days means a lesser time. You're not going to suffer for 10 years or 20 years. And some people say, I'm suffering. If you are in Christ, there is a solution. God makes the way out of your problems. And so here he's saying God wants to give us the crown of life. We already studied about the crowns. So life eternal is already given. And so we have to suffer for Christ until we die. There is no shortcut. If somebody tells you once you saved, saved forever, then you don't have to suffer. You are sealed for doing anything you want to do. But as a Christian, we have to keep on suffering until we die or until Jesus Christ comes. He said, wait until he's appearing. Whichever comes first, shall we rise. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Thank you, Lord, for giving us grace to learn about the suffering or the fiery trials. And we learn this, all the fiery trials comes to us to purify us, sanctify us, make us more holy, make us more perfect in Christ Jesus. Give us grace. All the fear, all the anxiety, we rebuke it in the name of Jesus. We want to live for you and for your glory. Thank you for the people who came. Bless them and supply their needs. We commit ourselves into a loving hand. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.